The National Treasury has proposed increasing alcohol excise taxes and introducing a minimum unit price as part of its efforts to reduce alcohol-related harm in South Africa. The industry has argued that these measures will only fuel illicit trade, it will probably reduce tax revenue and ultimately threaten jobs. Public health advocates saying that the evidence points in the opposite direction. Let's talk to Dr. David Harrison. David is the chief executive of the DG Murray Trust. David, a very good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Africa.
So, pricing alcohol higher as a result of those excise taxes, will it result in fewer South Africans drinking and drinking copious amounts? And will it in the long run save lives?
Well, the evidence across the world, both from high-income countries and from low- and middle-income countries, is unequivocally yes. If we increase prices, it results in people drinking less alcohol, less legal alcohol, and if they're drinking illegal alcohol, they may continue, but less legal alcohol will be drunk. That will result in fewer hospital admissions, fewer deaths from illness and from injury, and significantly fewer children in South Africa ending up with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder.
You drew a distinction between legal and illegal alcohol. The industry is saying that if you hike the prices, what this will do in part is actually improve, I suppose, consumption of illicit trade and illegal alcohol.
Only if government doesn't take effective countermeasures. And that's experience across the world. Again, it's not limited to low and middle income countries. Even in higher income countries where governments put in place systems like track and trace, where they put in place other controls, you can contain the illicit alcohol trade. But even if it does grow, even if you consider a country like Russia, where they've always had an extremely high illicit market, The consequence of increasing excise taxes is to reduce significantly the overall rate of consumption in that country. And so you get a significant reduction in harm, even in a country that does experience high illicit markets. Now, we don't want that in South Africa. Crime is crime. It must be combated. But what we know is that illicit markets only constitute a small proportion, possibly in South Africa up to 20% if the industry is to be believed. But it is legal alcohol that is constituting 80% of the harm in South Africa, and the evidence from across the world is that by curtailing that, you're going to significantly reduce the harm and the deaths and disease.
And I imagine any measure is important because data, I think, approximates that, 32% of South Africans age 15 and older actually consume alcohol, but 59% of those who do drink heavily and therefore cause the majority of the social harms that are associated with alcohol.
Yes. So in fact, I mean, latest studies actually suggest, and it's probably more correct, that about half of South Africans drink. But if you have a look at our problem in South Africa, we have a problem of extremely heavy drinking. You know, I mean, low and moderate alcohol consumption in South Africa is good for the economy, but heavy drinking is not. And by moderate drinking, I mean no more than two drinks a day. But the problem in South Africa is 3/4 of drinkers admit to drinking more than two drinks a day, and 1/4. More than 5 drinks a day. And so this is the problem. We've got this incredibly heavy drinking culture. And what we do know is that by putting in place a series of controls, including things like minimum unit pricing and taxing, you can make a big dent in the proportion of heavy drinking in the country.
So is the issue perhaps then not to put in place interventions and programs to discourage people from binge drinking and drinking heavily and making them appreciate, yes, enjoying a good steak with a glass of red wine, absolutely amazing. You don't have to drink the entire bottle.
So that's exactly what the industry would like us to believe. make this personal responsibility and not industry responsibility. But the problem is that industry's behavior is what is driving high rates of drinking. So, for example, beer containers, 1 liter containers that are per unit of alcohol far cheaper than if you buy a dumpy. The dumping of cheaper wine into poorer communities. The advertising that is directed at young people through social media. These are the type of industry practices that are driving heavy drinking in a community, particularly in poorer communities, where depression and where lack of recreation makes a drinking the favorite pastime late at night and over weekends. So we have to address both. We've got to be focused on personal responsibility, but the big issue in South Africa now is to get industry to take responsibility. And we can do it in a way that protects small producers. We can have rebates, excise tax rebates that protect jobs for craft beer and for winemakers. But the big flooding of the market with very, very cheap alcohol in South Africa must stop.
What is that sweet spot, I wonder then, David? At which price point do you then need to levy these excise taxes in order to see the kind of significant difference we are talking about?
Well, there are two things we have to do. One is that industry has to at least cover the cost of the harm that it causes. And studies have been done, even by industry researchers, industry-aligned researchers, that show that the excise taxes that are paid don't even cover the cost of the harm, the policing, the healthcare, the social services, etc. So that surely must be our first benchmark. The ordinary taxpayer, you and I, should not be subsidizing the profits of the industry. And then secondly, we can see how increased taxes by, for example, 15% over the next few years can reduce the levels of consumption roughly by about 15 to 20%. If we were to achieve that, it doesn't mean the industry can't sell the alcohol, but they can sell it at lower strength alcohol. If we can reduce the amount of pure alcohol, ethanol, that people are consuming by about 15% over the next 3 to 4 years, we will literally save thousands of lives, prevent thousands of rapes, and prevent up to 80,000 children every single year being affected by fetal alcohol syndrome.
Those are strong words there. David, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your reflections on this. Dr. David Harrison is the chief executive of the DG Murray Trust, making a very strong case for National Treasury's intention to increase alcohol excise taxes. His main argument, make the industry pay for the harms that abuse of alcohol does in this country.